I'm joined in the studio by Hannah Fletcher, who is the Research and Engagement Associate at Healthwatch Essex, and she's here to talk about a recent report which focuses on hearing the voices of young people in a secure inpatient mental health unit. Now, since 2014, Healthwatch Essex have gathered the health and social care lived experience of young people in Essex through the Year and Suite project. So it's lovely to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What are the Year and Suite projects?
So Year is a much more general sort of look at young people, their mainstream lived experience. So just a young person who might be going to secondary school today, what are their sort of needs from health and social care? Do they know, for example, how to make their own GP appointment? Do they have issues around just knowing where to get the right advice around quitting smoking or sexual health, that kind of thing? And then the SUITE reports, which stand for Services We Experience in Essex Today, what we decided to do there is really focus in on a particular area. And for this SUITE 3 report, we chose to carry out our research in a secure mental health inpatient unit, so where young people were mentally ill to the extent where they needed round-the-clock hospital treatment. The reason that we wanted to do this project in the first place was actually we decided that as throughout all our Year projects, mental health came up consistently as a priority for young people. Yeah. And we decided that actually if we went to what could be considered like the worst case scenario in mental health care, which is ending up in a hospital such as this one, yeah, then what these young people would have been in the correct position to tell us basically what they think could have changed in their care that could have prevented them needing such high-end services.
Yeah.
So some of the concerns that they were saying was things like the waiting lists, which we know is a national issue, but actually in the time that they're waiting to be seen by a service in their community, their mental illness can escalate to the point where they reach crisis and hospital is the only way to go.
Yeah.
So that has a real impact on their ability to recover. It's not just that they're on a waiting list and therefore their illness goes on pause, it will continue to escalate as a physical illness would as well. And another issue that we came across was that even when they were accessing services, that service went through such a high level of almost constant change in terms of the person running the service, or sorry, the providers who had the contract for that service could go through a change, which means all the criteria are different and what's provided is different, right down to the counsellor that you have week in, week out.
Yeah.
It's very likely to change as well, and you might not see the same professional twice, which means every time you go for your appointment, you're having to tell all your story again, all the traumatic events, etc. So those were two of the most prominent findings.
And also about, did I read a little bit about holistic treatments as well? Is that something that the young people were looking at more?
Yeah, so something that they themselves were really benefiting from in the hospital was art therapies and pet therapies as well. Yeah. And those really good at focusing you in the moment and keeping you present to experience the nice things that are happening right now, as well as expressing a degree of that. I think at the moment provision in the community around those types of things are very patchy at best.
So it's basically to put down that this has worked with this group of people.
Yep.
So it's something we'd like to be able to get in for the future, get funding to
it
get this.
It definitely requires more, a closer look at what are the benefits we can see in this hospitalised environment. What would it look like in the community? And I think there's an important role for those types of services to play as well, while children are on these long waiting lists as well, that if they're able to access any sort of support that might be beneficial in the meantime, it's 100% worth giving it a go.
Yeah. And if you are, what are we talking about, under 18-year-olds here?
So the young people in this study were 12 to 17.
What would be the best advice, just in case somebody's listening and they've got a son or daughter or friend they think's got depression or they're not feeling quite themselves, what's the first point of call they should do?
I think really knowledge is power in this sort of situation. So we know that mental health literacy is definitely not on par with physical health literacy and what we know about the physical condition of our bodies. So I'd say equip yourself as best as you can to know precisely what you might be dealing with, because depression, just like every other illness, it's kind of a spectrum. There can be a very low need, there can be a very high need. I think the more that we can have that kind of open conversation with these young people and without any stigma or judgment, the better. And then I think we could suggest that you would just speak to a medical professional. That would be a GP or maybe someone in the community. I know that there is the community mental health services for children in Essex do accept self-referrals. Mm. That's currently being provided by EWMHS.
Right.
Which is the Emotional Wellbeing and Mental Health Service.
Yep.
They do have long waiting lists, as far as I can tell, but any young person or their parent can make a referral into that service.
Yeah, it's because it's really important that if you do have any mental health issues, and that really no matter what age you are, you talk to somebody. Make sure you pick up the phone and just call somebody. Don't
Absolutely.
You won't be on your own. And if you don't get the immediate response that you want, try somebody else. Just hit straight away. If you speak to a doctor, you go, oh, they were awful, I couldn't speak to somebody else.
Someone will understand.
Yep,
someone will be able to help you understand for yourself as well. But sometimes it's just a bit of a lottery experience, unfortunately. I mean, how to navigate the system, the confidence required as well, to sort of say, no, I know myself and I know that something isn't quite right here. It's something that I think a lot of adults can struggle with, let alone very young people who don't even necessarily know if they are allowed the confidentiality to speak to a doctor by themselves.
What recommendations have been put forward and what action is going to be taken?
Okay, so very early on, we're really pleased to say that actually, even though the focus of this study wasn't the hospital itself, we were looking from that hospital perspective, what in the community could change. But actually, the hospital itself has been really forthcoming in saying we want to embed these recommendations into our work with young people going forward, just to make sure that that inpatient care is tip-top, basically, because I think they're really acknowledging that by the time that young people get into their care, they might have had a real roller coaster of a journey through services.
Yeah.
So to make that destination really as useful as it can be and prevent readmission. So we're thrilled with that, given that this report only launched on Monday. That's a great outcome already to have. So some of our further recommendations are things around just everybody improving their mental health literacy. Anyone, that could be parents, grandparents, teachers. And we also hear from GPs that we speak to, particularly older GPs, when they did their training, there was no modules on mental health. They didn't get to learn anything about mental health. And yet, obviously, so many of the appointments they have now, people will be presenting with mental health issues. So looking at really bringing everyone up to date and on the same page with this, to where possible, just really, I think, empower staff to be able to develop that consistent, trusting relationship with the young people they're working with and not have these caseloads and these pressures that means you have to see a different young person every single time or you end up moving to a different working environment because you're just burnt out. That it's really hard because so much of this kind of rests on how, compared to physical health, mental health is underfunded.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult to try and work with what we've got. But we're trying to look at what young people did say worked well, which is always a person that they can trust who they feel will be with them through this journey. And we try and want to basically upskill everyone who will come into interaction with a young person to be able to provide that where they can. I think that's why it's so important that we gather these young people's voices in the first place to really understand not just how they want to access services around their mental health, but what factors might be contributing to mental health as well. It's healthwatchessex.org.uk, and there's a section on there called Our Library where you can look through all our reports, so not just this most recent one, but all the previous reports we've done with young people as well.